and welcome to the Innovation Agency podcast. I'm Caroline Kenyon, and in this episode, I'll be finding out what Core 20 plus 5 is all about and how the Innovation Agency is playing its part in addressing health inequalities in the Northwest Coast. So we're going to talk about Core 20 plus 5, and with me is Eileen O'Meara and Andrew Cooper. Could you introduce yourselves first, please, Eileen?
Hello, my name is Eileen O'Meara, and I am the Clinical Director for the Health Inequalities Hub for the Northwest, employed by NHSEI. That means that I oversee development of what happens for Core 20 plus 5 plus other initiatives that are going on within the department.
So we're going to hear all about what that means. But first, Andrew, can you just introduce yourself, please?
Yeah, of course. I'm Andrew Cooper. I'm the Clinical Director at the Innovation Agency.
And your responsibilities are?
So my responsibilities are I'm the clinical lead for the organisation, but I'm also the executive lead for delivery of our national programmes, which are predominantly around spread and adoption of tried and tested innovation and patient safety improvement.
So it'd be really interesting to hear how addressing health inequalities can be part of the work of spreading innovation and improvement. That's great. But first, Eileen, what is Core 20 plus 5? It's a term we're hearing a lot of now, but what does it mean and where does it come from?
So Core 20 plus 5 is an approach to tackling healthcare inequalities, which has been developed nationally by the NHS and partners. And it refers to a very focused approach. So it looks at homing down onto five key clinical areas and then working with people who are in the most deprived 20% of the population. So that's why they talk about Core 20, because that's the 20%. And then plus are those groups in society that sometimes don't have as much social inclusion as we would like to see. So that might include homeless people or some ethnic minority groups or people with a serious mental illness or people with a learning disability. So it includes those groups. And then the five are the key clinical areas that we're wanting to focus on. So they are early detection of cancer, looking at chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, particularly vaccinations to capture people who have that disease. So that's looking at flu vaccinations, vaccinations against pneumonia, and also COVID vaccinations. So vaccinations that help with respiratory health. Also looking at maternal health in terms of what we call continuity of carer. So that's making sure that women have the same midwife all the way through pregnancy. And then also looking at high blood pressure, thinking about how we can case find people who've got high blood pressure who don't know they have it. And also how we can treat people better who actually have high blood pressure. And then finally, we're looking at health checks for people who have a severe mental illness. And it's physical health checks because we know that people with severe mental illness often have poor physical health as well and die on average 20 years younger than the rest of the population.
That's a very big remit, isn't it? I mean, you could say that the NHS and social care have been focused in this way forever, surely. What's made the difference? What's prompted this new focus?
The new focus has come out of the pandemic, and it's come out of the pandemic because after the pandemic, when we did data analysis, what we found was that the areas that had worsened the most with those areas that I've just described, and they are the areas that we need to tackle in order to address health inequalities. So it's a new focus on that. It's very, very honed down, as I said, and what we're hoping for from that is to have more traction and more impact on those disease areas.
And from the point of view of the Innovation Agency as an academic health science network, Andrew, how does that feel, seeing that new approach, that new focus? How does that feel from your point of view, delivering these national improvement programmes?
I think it's an approach that we absolutely welcome. So, you know, we know that some of our programmes are very targeted anyway, to particularly to areas of deprivation. So if we look at that core 20 approach with those 20 most deprived local authority areas in the country, we know that some of our work, particularly around cardiovascular disease, lipid work, so cholesterol and improving levels of cholesterol, blood pressure, etc., is very much targeted anyway around those areas. And I think having that renewed focus in terms of that support from kind of that national directive, but then working much more locally with our integrated care systems will mean that we can work in collaboration to deliver that work.
And the big question is how, Eileen, isn't it? How you get this approach to take off and to be adopted across the country and in the Northwest, which is your remit especially?
Yeah, so we've done a number of things to help with that. We've been having conversations with friends. So we've been talking to all the clinical leads right across the Northwest about their thoughts on this and how they feel that we could gain traction in taking this programme forward. They're all in agreement that these areas really, really need addressing. So people are on board with that. We're talking to the primary care networks and their forums, and they're looking at what they want to do in terms of working with us. We're also working with directors of public health and with local authorities so that we can think about how they take things forward as well. Because many core 20 plus 5 programmes can be delivered in the community with a population health approach. So we're also looking at that. So we're coming at it from all angles, basically.
And how does that look? Can each area decide its own programme of work, and does it measure its own work, or is that something that's being monitored nationally and they have to achieve in certain areas?
We do have targets. So we have targets for every single area. Some of the clinical areas are obviously going to need much more work than others. So, for instance, in terms of high blood pressure, we would like to see 80% of all patients with high blood pressure treated to NICE gold standards. We would like to see that. That would be great. We know that particularly black and ethnic minority women suffer from not having continuity of carer right through their pregnancy, and that they have a higher mortality rate than white British women. So it's thinking about how can we improve that so that we've got the majority of those women having the same midwife all the way through. And then thinking about things like cancer, we know that 24% of people with cancer that turn up at A&E and are diagnosed with cancer at A&E come from the most deprived areas. And we know that we don't want that, because what we want to do is catch everybody at an early stage. So there are targets around, you know, people being found early with early stage cancer rather than late stage cancer. So we've got targets for every single area. So that will measure it to some extent.
But where are the resources that are going to make these changes happen? How is it actually going to make a difference?
All of these areas are already in the long-term plan. So there's already been substantial funding put out there for these areas. So the resources are out there. Plus there is some extra funding for innovation, which is going ahead. And we have distributed some funds into the voluntary sector and local authorities and so on to look at working in the community. So there's a range of funding streams, basically.
So by enacting this programme, you're making it a higher priority for the system, basically, with additional resources. And you hope to achieve some difference on the ground. What is your hope for the whole programme? What do you hope to achieve?
Well, I would love to see everybody achieve the targets that are down there. That would be fantastic if we could do that. And, you know, it's not really about the targets, it's about enabling people to have happier, healthier lives, because, you know, if we do manage to catch cancer early, then people aren't going to go on and die from it or suffer, you know, a lot of illness from it. And the same with high blood pressure. We want those people to be found and to be treated rather than going on to have a heart attack. And we know that 50% of people who have a heart attack die at that with that first heart attack. So it's about making a difference for people's lives and for the lives of their loved ones, so that they can continue to live longer in good quality health.
So what's your call to the system then? What do you need people in the system to do to help this work?
So my call to the system is, if we have best practice that really makes a difference, can we please share it? And we are holding workshops and inviting people to come and share their best practice at the workshops. Think about innovative approaches to all of this. We are looking for innovative approaches and what we can do to take things forward in different ways, particularly using things like technology. You know, a lot of us now have access to technology, so let's think about that. But let's also think about people who don't have access to technology and how we can enable them to also access healthcare and improve their health. And also thinking about who within our circle can work with us to help us improve things, and think about within each area who can help us lead this, because we all need to lead it. It's a peer leadership approach with each area, thinking about what they can do, because obviously you go much further if you all work together.
So that's the call to action. Thank you, Eileen. And call to think innovatively leads on nicely to the Innovation Agency and Andrew Cooper. Andrew, how are we doing it in the Innovation Agency?
There's quite a lot of alignment in terms of what we're currently delivering around around Core 20 plus 5. So the alignment with the Core 20 element is very much around those targeted groups. And, you know, we do know that the Northwest has some of the most deprived local authority areas in the country. So when you look at the top 10 in terms of those local authority lists, there's probably four or five local authority areas that are within that grouping. So we are, through those lipids programs, through those cardiovascular programs, respiratory programs, etc., we are working really closely with some of those communities. But what we've adopted to make that more targeted is something called the Health Equity Analysis Tool, which is a Public Health England tool. And what that does is allow us to assess all our projects to ensure that we're identifying who the real audiences are for those projects. So not just working with the people who we've worked with in the past, but actually really identifying who the groups are who are most at risk in terms of those health inequalities, and that might be different for different projects. So we've adopted that consistently for all our projects, and that's really helping us to target the areas that we need to target in terms of best impact. It does have a focus around protected characteristics, so that might be age, ethnicity, gender, etc. But it also looks more broadly than that. So for some of our other marginalised groups, so that might be homeless people, it might be people in prison, it might be sex workers, it could be all those different groups that potentially we miss with traditional tools.
Can you give us an example of how you've applied that HEAT tool to one of the projects?
Yeah, so if I think of one of our respiratory projects, we've used the HEAT tool to assess the whole respiratory programme. And what we've identified was a gap in terms of our homeless community who weren't accessing pulmonary rehab programmes. So we've been able, through the HEAT tool, through identifying that, we've been able to work with our systems, and we're working on a specific project around. It links with digital inclusion, because what we're doing is identifying digital access for homeless people through hostels, who can then access a digital pulmonary rehab programme through that enhanced digital access through the homeless hostel.
So if you were describing the role of the Innovation Agency in patient safety improvement programmes, for instance, how important is that aspect of it, of addressing health inequalities?
It's absolutely vital, and it's actually it's core to some of those programs. So if we look specifically around patient safety improvement, one example would be our maternity and neonatal safety improvement program, which we're currently delivering. But actually there's a real health inequalities aspect to that already. So we're already engaged with our two local maternity systems. And we're very much focused on improving equity and equality in maternity care as part of that programme. And there's a direct alignment there with one of the five in the five clinical areas from Core 20 plus 5. That would go for, you know, one of the other areas is around hypertension and identifying people with hypertension or high blood pressure. Some of the work that we're doing around blood pressure and something called a blood pressure quality improvement tool that we're rolling out to. We've already rolled out to 150 practices in Cheshire and Merseyside, and we're about to do the same with Lancashire and South Cumbria, which really supports practices to identify those people who may have high blood pressure readings but aren't captured on a hypertension register, so they don't get that whole range of treatment. But equally as important as people who are already under treatment for high blood pressure, who don't have their treatment optimised. So potentially they may be taking medication that is only having a partial effect. And actually where we want to get to is ensure that people reach those. You know, Eileen talked earlier about the NICE guidance, so that the kind of the optimal blood pressure to protect somebody against future harm around stroke or heart attacks, and that's embedded within our programme. But there's that direct alignment with Core 20 plus 5.
And the Innovation Agency is also involved in the at-home delivery of at-home services, yeah, caring for people at home, using tech and digital. Mm. But isn't there a danger that only is available for people who know about it, who know how to access it, know how to use it? Mm. Is there a danger with those like BP at home, for instance, people measuring their blood pressure at home? Mm. How do you make sure that it's accessible to everybody?
To be honest, I think that comes back to some of that work around the equity assessments and ensuring that we look at our population, we use the data from the population, and we ensure that we identify the right segments of that population. And quite often, we talk about seldom heard elements of our population, and through that consistent use of a tool like that, and part of the process is it's not just internal. We actually encourage review of the assessments that we do through an external panel that's made up of groups within our population, to ensure that we're not missing those at risk groups. For me, it goes back to that consistent use of that kind of approach in terms of having that health inequalities lens and being very, very mindful that we need to be thinking that way for all our project delivery.
Because we talked about targets before, the Innovation Agency has targets to meet for spreading innovations and improvements. Will this focus detract from those targets because you will necessarily be going for small numbers of minority groups of the population, basically, won't you, rather than going for the larger numbers of easier to reach parts of the population? Is that a concern?
I think there's always a risk because in terms of capacity and the time to do that additional work to make sure we get to the right population groups, that takes more time and takes time away from delivering against some of those kind of core targets. But actually, it's something that if we're doing this in collaboration with our health and care, social care system, we agree that across the whole system. And I think, we're part of an AHSN network, Academic Health Science Network, and I think there is recognition that actually as we move forward, there will be much more of a focus on health inequalities and Core 20 plus 5. So I would hope there's acknowledgement of that, because it does take more time, but as we get better at delivering and better at identifying more marginalised groups, you would like to think that we become more efficient in delivering in those areas.
So as the whole system focuses on Core 20 plus 5 and addressing health inequalities, how do you summarise the value of the Innovation Agency in that work?
I think as an organisation, we're uniquely placed in that system. So you know, we don't have that responsibility for frontline delivery. We're not commissioning services. We're not regulating services. So we are really there as an organisation that can support our systems to deliver. Plus, we have that real link to innovation and to system transformation to be able to, I suppose, to do that horizon scanning and to scope out where innovation can support delivery against these core principles. And you know, innovation isn't just about a digital gadget. It can be about, you know, a pathway change or program transformation, those kind of things. And we do have that opportunity within the innovation agency because we are, you know, removed from that day-to-day delivery, that we can work with our providers, work with our commissioners, and increasingly we're working with regulators as well to kind of bring that whole system together to support that delivery.
Great. Arlene, as we finish, what is your main call to the system, your main call for action?
My main call for action would be that we all embrace the core 20+5 approach, because we can't do everything. So we need to focus in order to gain traction and impact. So let's all agree that we're going to focus on these priorities in terms of healthcare and improving healthcare outcomes, and do that for our local populations and see the difference and try to close that gap that widened up during the pandemic and even before the pandemic, and look to shrink it.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks, Caroline.
Thank you, Arlene O'Meara and Andrew Cooper. We'll be following up with more episodes to highlight good examples of reducing health inequalities in our region. Do get in touch if there's anything you'd like to share in a podcast with us. Contact details and links to more information about Core 20+5 are in the podcast notes. Thank you for listening.